Text reads, a Disney Channel original movie. On a sun-drenched day, Tommy rides a horse across a grassy hillside. He wears a white cowboy hat. A title appears, Jumping Ship. Tommy stops at the top of the hill. He watches a pickup truck drive down a dirt road. In a stable, Jules talks on the phone with Michael, who stands by cornstalks.
That's great, Michael. Good for you.
Yeah, you know, I know it sounds strange coming from me, Aunt Jules, but it really feels good growing your own stuff. It's hard work, though.
Well, I guess you've got a little farmer in you after all.
So, is Tommy all set to go?
I'd say he's been packed for 3 days. I've got to admit, Michael, I'm a little nervous. Australia's really far away.
I know, but I promise you, I'm going to take good care of him, all right? Don't worry. Excuse me, Aunt Jules. Hey, there's a couple of weeds right there, partner.
A man works in the dirt beside him.
It's so hard to get good help these days.
There's only one short row of stalks.
So, where is Tommy anyway?
Oh, he's riding up right now. Hey, Tommy! Michael's on the phone! I'll talk to you later, Michael. Have fun and be careful.
We will, all right? And don't worry, Aunt Jules. I promise you, Tommy is in very good hands, all right?
I know. Here he is.
Jules passes the phone to Tommy.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, bud.
Are you out riding my horse again?
Yeah. He's gotten really fast. He's really living up to his name.
The pickup truck pulls up.
Who's ready for a steak sandwich?
Hey, Tommy. Are you ready to have some fun?
Couldn't be more ready.
Well, guess what?
What?
I was on the internet, and I decided that I'm going to charter a private yacht to take us deep sea fishing for 2 days and then on to the resort.
Just you and me. How cool is that, huh?
Really?
Yeah. I thought you might like it.
I can't wait.
Me either, buddy. Listen, I'll see you at the airport, all right?
All righty. Bye.
Okay, bye.
A square-jawed cowboy nods to Tommy as he walks past with Jules. Tommy covers his eyes with his hat. Now Michael lounges on an inflatable chair in a pool as Glenn approaches wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase.
How's the water?
Oh, it's great, Dad. You want to come in?
Wish I could. But I've got to go to work.
Glenn grabs Michael's foot and pulls him toward the edge of the pool.
Nice tan, Michael.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm trying to get a good, base for Australia.
Michael, my accountant just called. This trip with Tommy that you're taking to Australia seems to have come in at $4,000 more than you said it would.
Oh, I can explain that.
Oh, please do.
Okay, see, Roxanne is going to be in Hawaii, right? Which is practically right next door to Australia. So I said, hey, since you're in the neighborhood, come on down and join Tommy and me.
So you picked up the tab?
Dad, I invited her. Is this going to be a problem?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is a problem. Michael, you're spending money you don't have, and you don't have a job to pay it back. You know, Michael, in my book, success is when preparation meets opportunity. And frankly, Michael, what you're doing here has nothing to do with either one.
Dad, look, I don't,
you're supposed to be looking for a job, maybe putting your education to work.
But, Dad, I'm not sure I want to be an attorney.
Well, our agreement was whatever you chose, you'd be employed by the end of the summer.
Well, I've been looking.
Well, there aren't a whole lot of opportunities you're going to find sitting here in this pool, Michael. Now, you're going to pay me back for Roxanne. So I suggest that when you return from your vacation, you find that job that we've been talking about, or you're going to come work for me.
Michael stares at his father.
As like a partner in your firm?
No, not as a partner in my firm, Michael. You'd have to go to law school and pass the bar exam to do that. You're going to start the way I started, as a file clerk.
Michael gapes at him.
It's not a punishment, Michael. It's a job. Who knows, you might like it.
Glenn pats Michael's arm.
I might even treat you to lunch once in a while.
He nudges Michael away from the edge of the pool.
Think about it.
Glenn points and departs. Michael returns the gesture and touches his brow. In Montana, Tommy takes the saddle off his horse. The square-jawed cowboy approaches with a small wrapped package.
Here, need some help?
No, it's okay. I can do it.
Here, this is for you, a little going-away present.
Thanks. Set it down over there.
Sure. Okay.
The cowboy sets the package on a hay bale and steps away, passing by Jules, who pats his shoulder and offers him a sympathetic look before walking over to Tommy.
Don't even say it. I know what he's trying to do.
Oh, really? What's that?
Helping you unload the hay yesterday? Pitching it with the fence last week? Always offering to drive you into town?
He's a nice guy. Neighbors help each other out.
Okay, what about making dinner? Steak sandwiches?
Everybody's gotta eat.
You know what I'm trying to say. He likes you.
Tommy brushes his horse. Jules steps closer to him.
Well, I like him too.
Just because you do doesn't mean I have to.
Tommy.
Look, I'll not explain it. I just don't want another dad.
Honey, nobody's trying to replace your dad.
Good, because no one will.
Of course not. Come on. Give him half a chance. Maybe there's room for you and Mark to be friends.
Jules smiles with her arm around Tommy's shoulders. He hangs his head.
All right, let's get going. We don't want to miss your plane.
Jules walks away. Tommy grabs his hat and follows her, leaving Mark's present behind. A partly cloudy sky hangs over the Sydney, Australia skyline. Then an aerial view glides above moored boats along the shore. A gold-stretched limousine pulls to a stop and parks beside a marina. Nearby, a curly-haired young woman sits at a table at an outdoor cafe. She watches the limousine as the driver walks back to open the rear door.
There you go, gentlemen. Thank you.
Michael and Tommy, wearing identical blue suits, climb out while the driver unloads bags from the trunk.
Beautiful, huh? What do you think? Is this beautiful or what? This is incredible.
Michael peers at Tommy.
You know, I love this look on you. I look like you.
I know. Isn't it great?
Michael pats Tommy's cheek as the curly-haired woman watches them. Tommy raises a camera.
Hey, Michael. What? Smile. Oh, wait. Hold on. Excuse me. Sir, would you mind snapping a picture of us, please?
No worries, Mike.
Thanks. Get the boats in, all right?
Okay.
Line up.
All right.
While the driver takes a picture of Michael and Tommy, the curly-haired woman rises from her table and walks toward them.
It's great.
Thank you.
Jeez, thanks.
Hey, wait, this is for you. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. It's gonna be better than this, huh? It's off to Paradise Island. What?
He bumps into Michael.
I wasn't wondering where I was going.
Okay.
Okay.
No worries.
Cool.
Mate.
She looks through Michael's wallet as she walks off with it. Michael stares at her figure appreciatively.
You okay? What?
Yeah.
Mom. What's the boat's name? Oh, you're gonna love this. It's called the Tiffany. Sure, it's owned by the same family that owns that jewelry store. Probably just chartered out on the weekends when they're not using it. Lucky for us.
But how tacky is that, huh?
They spot a luxurious yacht.
Okay. Now you can't miss that.
Now on board, Michael and Tommy set down their bags. A charcuterie plate, glasses, and a bottle cooling bucket rest on a counter within.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You said a few days in a boat. I didn't expect this. Yeah, well, have a seat, my friend. Lesson number one, you always get what you deserve out of life.
Michael takes a piece of food from the charcuterie plate. An old man in a crisp white outfit approaches.
Can I help you, sirs?
Yes, you can. You can start by taking those bags down to our cabins.
And we just traveled like halfway around the world, man, and we're dying of thirst. So how about popping open a couple of sodas on your way back? Oh, and put a couple of little umbrellas in it, because we love those.
I'm sorry, sir. I think you're on the wrong craft. This is a private yacht, not a charter. If you could perhaps tell me the name.
This is a Tiffany, isn't it?
No, sir. The Tiffany, I believe, is over there.
The man turns toward a window. Tommy and Michael share an uncomfortable look. Then Michael sets down what's left of his snack. Moments later, Tommy and Michael trudge down the dock with their luggage. A man with short, spiky hair toasts them from his yacht.
G'day, mate.
Hey.
G'day, mate. You're so friendly here.
Yeah.
Tommy takes another picture.
Frakes.
The curly-haired woman tosses Michael's wallet to the short-haired man, Frakes.
Two platinum cards. Beverly Hills address. This kid might be worth something.
That's what I thought. Pulled up in a limo, heading out to Paradise Island. That place isn't cheap.
What's up?
Frakes shows Michael's ID to a blonde man.
Our next project?
The cousins reach the end of the dock. They approach a shabby, discolored fishing boat with text on the back reading, Tiffany. Michael leans toward the old craft.
Hello?
Near a toolbox, a floor hatch stands open.
Hello? Yeah? What?
A young brown-haired man emerges from the hatch.
Is this the Tiffany?
Yep. This is her.
Please tell me there's more than one.
No. No, this is her. One and only.
All right, I'd like to talk to the captain of the boat, please.
That would be me. Jake Hunter's the name.
Jake extends his hand.
You're the captain of this heap?
Well, she might need a new coat of paint, but she's as solid as the first day she was put on the sea.
And who did that? Noah?
Come on, Michael.
No, no, Tommy, if this was a horse, we'd shoot it to put it out of its misery. There's no way we're getting on this boat. I want my money back.
You have a non-refundable deposit, sir.
I'm sure that's something my attorney can work out. Come on, Tommy, we're out of here. What a scam.
Well, good luck finding anything else, Mr. Woods. The charters, they fill up kind of fast around here. And just so you know, I'm leaving in an hour, whether you're on my boat or not.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Great. Come on, Tommy. I'm gonna find us something better. Come on, let's go.
Later, they stand on the deck of the Tiffany.
Okay, forward, aft, port is left side, starboard is right. The bathroom is called the head. The kitchen is the galley, where you will find the fridge, and it is a help-yourself fridge. Up here is the sky deck. To my right over here is the cockpit, where you'll find me most of the time. Lower deck is where we do all the fishing. Emergency channel is 39. Life jackets are stowed in the compartment that says life jackets. And nobody touches my mug here.
Jake shows them a no-spill wide-based mug.
He's not a captain, he's a warden.
As the Tiffany pulls away, Michael uses a headset for his phone.
David, listen, man. When I asked you to ask your dad if he could get me a job, I was hoping it would be more, you know, at the executive level. I don't want to drive a tour tram. Okay, all right. You know what? Don't worry about it. I'm just going to call someone else. It's fine. Thanks. Bye.
I think we should settle up on the other half of the payment. I don't want to get too far out.
Are you kidding me? The way we've been misled, I shouldn't pay you at all.
Well.
Jake shrugs.
Okay.
Michael feels for his wallet.
Okay, you know what? You don't have to play the missing wallet trick on me.
Relax, will you? I'll probably put it down in my luxury suite below deck.
In a cramped cabin, Michael and Tommy look through the bags.
Could you have lost it?
No, no, no.
Because when I paid the limo driver, I had my wallet, so...
Michael's mouth falls open.
Oh, no. Look, it's not my fault that I got pickpocketed, all right? But don't worry, I'm having the money transferred to the island, and I'll pay you as soon as we get there. I'm totally good for it.
Jake turns from the wheel and eyes Michael's high-end wristwatch.
Give me your watch.
What?
No, you heard me. Give me your watch. I want some kind of collateral.
Are you nuts? I could buy this boat with my watch.
You either give me the watch now, or I'm taking both you guys back to port.
Michael's brow creases as he looks down at his watch and glances at Tommy, who jerks his head toward Jake.
All right, fine.
Michael takes off his watch and hands it to Jake.
Take it. If you put one scratch on it, I swear.
Jake hands his own watch to Michael.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna call your lawyer?
Later, Michael uses his phone.
Dad, look, you know what? I'm gonna lose you at any minute. Can you please just cancel all the credit cards and wire the money directly to Paradise Island for me? Yeah, all right. And Dad, I'm gonna pay you back as soon as I get home, all right? Okay. Thank you, Dad. Bye.
Probably sympathy out of him with a crowbar.
Jake peers off toward the horizon.
Well?
You'll get your money as soon as we get to the island, all right?
Good. You'll get your watch back.
Yeah, great. Who's steering the boat?
It has an autopilot.
It works.
Hey, Jake, think we can do some fishing soon?
Sure, why not?
I want to get changed.
Now Michael wears a vest and a brimmed hat with a row of teeth along the band.
Who are you, the crocodile hunter?
Please, I don't think the crocodile.
Shadow Hunter shops on Rodeo Drive.
Later, Michael uses his headset as he holds a fishing rod.
Yeah, actually, my friend Jennifer told me to give you guys a call. Yeah, she said that your management company was opening up a music division, needs someone to run it. Yeah.
It's a great job opportunity. Can you hold on?
I'm so sorry, I'm experiencing a little technical difficulty right here.
What? I'm sorry about that. So, let's talk music. Well, I have a lot. What? Hello? Can you hold on just 1 second?
Hey, Michael.
Please. Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry.
The headset gets caught in the reel.
Hello?
Michael kneels with his head pressing on the deck by the reel.
Hello?
Michael rises up from the deck. Tommy smirks and shakes his head.
What?
I was only going to suggest that you unplug the headset and use the phone.
Michael frowns, then winces as he removes the headset from his ear.
Hey, you guys should reel in. We're gonna be hitting some cross currents. We get some pretty big swells.
Reel in, Michael.
The boat rocks up and down amid choppy waves. Michael hangs limply over the railing at the bow. Holding a sandwich, Tommy steps up beside him.
Wow, huh? These waves are huge. They go up and down and up.
Michael turns to face Tommy with an expression of discomfort.
Mike? You don't look so good.
Yeah. Want a bite of my egg sandwich?
Michael shakes his head.
It's okay.
Tommy wears a cloth around his left palm.
What happened to your hand?
I just busted open an old blister.
Captain Jake has any bandages for you.
In the wheelhouse, Jake pulls the rubber band off a map and begins unrolling it as Tommy joins him.
Hey. You have a bandage? Yeah.
He sets the map down.
Yeah.
Tiffany, this is Island Patrol. Come back over.
Yeah. Hey, Butch.
Tommy reaches
on?
For a sextant.
Don't touch that.
I haven't seen you in a while. Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Wondering if you're up for some lobster diving tomorrow.
Sorry, Butch. I can't. I have a charter.
You do?
Yeah. Listen, I'll talk about it when I get back. Over and out. Friend of yours?
Jake eyes Tommy's injured hand.
Whoa. What the heck happened to your hands? Nothing. I just get kind of beat up on the ranch.
The ranch. I get it now. You own your own ranch, I suppose?
No, not really. Not anymore. Couldn't afford it, so we just run it now. Have I done something wrong because you're sure acting like it?
No. Just having a bad day, I guess.
I've had a few of those. Thanks for the bandage.
As Tommy steps away, Jake peers off pensively.
No problem.
Later, Jake shows Tommy the navigational tool.
Hey, Tommy. It's called the sextant.
Sailors used to use it to follow the stars at night. My dad and I found it while diving by a wreck.
You and your dad were treasure hunters?
Yeah, sort of.
Did you ever find anything else?
Yes, we did. Once.
Jake sets down the sextant and sits.
Long time ago.
Tommy sits beside him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Well, my dad and I, we were diving by this sunken Spanish galleon, and we came across this gold coin tucked between two pieces of coral. I mean, just perfectly laying there. When my dad plucked it out of there, seven more underneath it.
That must have been so cool.
It was so cool.
Where's your dad now?
Jake's smile falters.
He's around.
Wish mine was.
He died a couple years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Jake reaches into his pocket.
Hey, you know what? Come here a second. Yeah, you got something in your ear.
You serious?
Jake pretends to pull a gold coin from Tommy's ear.
Right there. Whoa.
Is that it?
That is it.
And that's one of them.
He lets Tommy hold it.
Here, check it out. So cool. Where are the rest of them?
My dad and I, we invested them, you know?
On Frake's yacht, the curly-haired woman sits near the blonde man while using a laptop.
Jonas, find out his credit limit?
Yep. It's unlimited.
Jackpot.
So what's the plan gonna be, boss?
It's quite simple, really. Pick up the guy, get a ransom, then feed him to the sharks.
Jonas and the blonde man smirk while Frakes grins. Meanwhile, in the Tiffany's wheelhouse.
You know, they did some research on that coin and found that it was on a merchant vessel sunk by pirates.
Tommy perks up.
Pirates?
Michael appears.
Storytelling one of the perks on this trip? You got any of those seasick pills?
No, sorry, we're all out. But if you're gonna hurl, do it over the side and not into the wind.
Don't worry about it. There's nothing left. Trust me.
Hey, Michael, look what Jake and his dad found. Pretty cool, huh? Found it in a sunken ship.
Tommy shows Michael the coin.
It's cool. So they're really pirates around here.
Oh, yeah. They hit these merchant vessels, hide out in the islands. Of course, no one will go after them because of the cannibals.
Cannibals? There's no cannibals, Tommy.
Headhunters? People who eat people? Love to shrink heads?
Cool, I know.
Michael leaves them.
He's not doing so well.
Man, what a shame.
Pirates.
You know, they're still around.
Aren't you worried about them hitting your boat?
No, this isn't exactly the type of vessel they're after.
In the cabin, Michael wears a sickly expression as he grips the edge of one of the beds to steady himself. Michael squints and stumbles out of the cabin. Moments later in the bathroom, he spots a partly open medicine cabinet and pulls out a box labeled Mal de Mer Patches. Now he heads upstairs with several small white patches on his neck. Tommy stands on the edge of the boat, gripping a rope swing.
Oh, hey, Michael!
Yeah?
You're missing all the fun! Come on! Look what Jake rigged! You gotta try it! It's a blast!
Isn't that nice of him? What do you do, get struck by lightning?
Tommy swings.
What happened to your neck?
Jake emerges from the water with snorkeling gear and drops several fish onto the deck.
Hey! You're awake!
Yeah. Oh, and, look what I found down there in the bathroom. Seasick patches. Thought you said you didn't have any.
Oh, no, you said pills, not patches.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Next time I'll be a little more specific about it.
Hey, hope you boys are hungry, huh? Got fresh fish omelets and melted cheese for dinner.
Michael frowns. Tommy swings out on the rope and drops into the water again.
Yeah!
Careful!
Later, Michael sits alone on the deck, gazing downward. His phone headset dangles around his neck. Tommy walks toward him with two soda cans in hand. He offers one to Michael.
Here. My mom gives me soda when my stomach's upset.
Thanks, buddy. I actually feel a little bit better now, though.
Michael takes a sip.
You know, this kind of reminds me of the ranch.
A golden sliver of sun remains above the horizon.
Yeah? How's that?
You and me together?
Michael smiles, then lowers his gaze.
Thanks for this, Michael.
You're welcome, buddy. Glad we could do it.
Cheers, mate.
They tap their cans together. Jake watches them from behind with a somber expression, then heads upstairs, gripping a pod in both hands. Tommy glances toward him.
He seems really lonely.
Yeah, I think the Grinch had more friends than that kid.
Kind of hungry. You want something to eat?
Michael's eyes narrow.
My stomach's been through a lot today, you know. I think I'm going to give it a little break. You go on, though. Okay? I'll meet you up there.
Tommy heads upstairs.
Thanks. Feel better?
Michael slips his headset's earpiece into an ear.
Roxanne. Hi. It's, Michael. Yeah. No, honey. You know what? I don't think that meeting in Australia is going to work out.
On a new day, Tommy sits with a fishing rod as Michael uses his phone.
Yes, and I am a workhorse.
Uh-huh.
That's right, available to you 24/7. Yeah, sure. No, I'll get a resume right off to you. Now, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Michael presses a button on the headset.
What am I going to do, Tommy? Huh? My dad said I have to get a job before the end of the summer. He's going to put me to work as a file clerk in his office.
Okay.
Anyway, I have 3 weeks left, one of which I'm with you.
Why are you looking now if you had all summer?
Michael looks up with a slight crease in his brow.
You know what? You are absolutely right. I left at the last minute, and I am trashing our time together. So, tell you what I'm going to do.
Michael takes off the headset.
I want you to hold this for me.
He hands his phone to Tommy.
Really?
Yeah. Just take it, all right? I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to make any more phone calls on that thing until we get home, all right? I promise.
Deal.
All right. Tell you what, I'm going to go grab the camera, take some photos. You put that in my suitcase, all right?
All right.
All right, buddy.
Tommy puts the phone in his shirt pocket.
Where's the camera?
In the wheelhouse.
Cool.
Michael starts off, but comes right back.
Where's the wheelhouse?
Where the wheel is?
Michael pats Tommy's shoulder and climbs upstairs. Tommy rises from his chair and heads inside. Tommy spins and grabs his rod and is pulled to the edge of the boat. Michael's phone falls out of Tommy's pocket into the water.
Oh, no.
He quickly hides the headset behind his back as Michael returns with the camera.
All right. So, time to take some photos. You ready?
Michael?
Hey, are you okay? You're not getting sick, are you?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, get ready, buddy.
Michael sets the camera on a ledge, moves to Tommy's side, and puts an arm around him.
Smile for the camera. Say cheese.
Far behind them, Frake stands on the deck of his yacht and watches the Tiffany through a pair of binoculars.
I can already smell the money.
Get going!
Jonas and the blonde man ride away in an inflatable boat. They wear wetsuits, goggles, and balaclavas. Michael joins Jake in the Tiffany's wheelhouse.
Hey.
Need something?
Yeah. I was wondering if you had any Pellegrino.
What's that?
Water.
You guys got your labels for everything, don't you?
What's up with you, huh? You know, for a guy who's in a service-oriented business, you really do have a serious attitude problem, you know that? I bet you don't get many repeat customers, do you?
The water's in the galley, Mr. Wood. Help yourself.
You just don't get it. I came up here so we could talk. Shh. Hey, don't shush me, all right?
No, just listen. I hear something.
Jake looks through a pair of binoculars.
What?
He spots the inflatable boat approaching.
This is not good.
What's going on? What are you doing?
About to be hit by pirates.
Pirates? What?
Michael uses the binoculars.
Island Patrol, this is the Tiffany. Come in.
How do you know they're pirates?
Well, they're coming up in an inflatable. You made no radio call? Sure they're not coming for the Pellegrino, trust me. Island Patrol, mayday, mayday.
What do they want?
Want me to stop and ask? Hey, guys. What's going on? Pirates. Pirates.
The inflatable boat speeds toward the Tiffany with Jonas at the wheel.
Catching up, dude.
I'm at full throttle, okay?
Hey, all right, just letting you know.
Jake glances over his shoulder, then spins the wheel. The inflatable boat swerves as Jonas tries to close in on the Tiffany.
Island Patrol, come in!
Jake swings the Tiffany back the other way. The inflatable boat swerves to stay on its tail.
It must be out of range. They're not answering.
Jake spins the wheel sharply. Jonas pulls the inflatable boat up alongside the Tiffany. The blonde man leaps off and clings to a pole on the Tiffany as his feet dangle over the water. Jake spots him from the wheelhouse.
Grab the wheel. Come on, stay down.
Jake rushes out of the wheelhouse. Tommy remains with Michael, who takes the wheel. The blonde man gains a foothold on the yacht's gunwale and tries to hoist himself up. Climbing down from the sky deck, Jake swings around a pole and kicks the man into the water. Tommy grins. Woo! Jake climbs back up onto the sky deck. The blonde man waves to Jonas from the water, but she speeds past him without slowing the inflatable boat. Jake hurries back down to the lower deck and grabs a grappling hook with a long rope attached to it. He rises from a crouch and swings the grappling hook overhead as Jonas draws near in the inflatable boat. Michael spins the wheel. Jake hurls the grappling hook at the inflatable boat. It catches on the side and he yanks on the rope, tearing a large hole in the side of the inflatable boat. The inflatable boat falls back and Jake heads up toward the wheelhouse. The blonde man swims toward Frake's yacht while Jonas turns the inflatable boat around. As the blonde man climbs aboard Frake's yacht, Jake steps back in his wheelhouse.
Hey, that was good. So now what? Because we're never going to outrun him.
Jake squints and motions ahead.
See that island over there?
Yeah.
You're getting off.
Off?
Yeah, it's the start of the Bellgrass Island chain. I'm gonna try to lose him, then come back for you.
No. No, we are not getting off the boat.
You don't seem to understand something. These guys don't take prisoners. They take what they want from you, and then throw you to the sharks. Now get aft and grab some life jackets.
Michael looks over his shoulder.
Come on, get aft!
Tommy shakes his head, but Michael grabs his hand and pulls him out of the wheelhouse. Jake clenches his jaw and stares ahead. The blonde man helps Jonas tie off the inflatable boat to the back of Frake's yacht.
You two idiots! Fix that light up! We're losing them!
All right!
They rush toward Frake's, who throws the throttle forward. Tommy and Michael don life jackets near the stern of the Tiffany.
All right, come on, come on! When we get around this point up here, I want you guys to jump off, swim to shore, and find some cover. Hopefully they won't see you. You gotta wait for me until I get back.
All right! Okay!
Waves crash against rocks on a nearby shoreline.
All right, go!
Michael and Tommy climb up onto the rail, then leap into the water. They shake water out of their eyes and swim toward the shore. The Tiffany pulls away. Frake's yacht pursues the Tiffany at a distance. The sun hangs low in the partly cloudy sky. Michael and Tommy continue swimming toward the shore. Later, the sun glows orange and red on the horizon. All goes dark. In daylight, Michael lies face down on the beach with his eyes closed. He opens his eyes to find himself face to face with a crab.
Ah!
Michael scrambles to his feet and backs away. He wipes his hands on his pants and looks around with a creased brow. Tommy's life jacket lies on the sand beside him. Michael takes off his own.
Tommy?
He scans the scrub brush at the edge of the beach.
Tommy! Tommy!
Michael!
Tommy?
Over here!
Tommy waves as he trots down a nearby slope. Michael jogs toward him and touches Tommy's cheeks.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I was just looking around.
Don't leave my side again, all right?
Michael takes Tommy's wrist and leads him down the beach.
What time is it?
You think Jake made it?
I don't know. Come on.
Yeah, you think those cannibals Jake were talking
about? No, there aren't any cannibals. Pirates are true. Come on.
Elsewhere, items from the Tiffany float in the shallows. The blonde man pulls Jake's no-spill wide-base mug out of the water and passes it to Frakes.
What do you reckon?
What do I reckon?
I reckon they couldn't outrun us, so they scuttled the boat.
What do you reckon, Jonas? You reckon they scuttled the boat? And we're gonna search every single one of these islands until we find them. Is that clear?
He's too big a score.
Is that clear?
Jonas frowns.
Let's do it.
On the island, Michael and Tommy reach the top of a ridge. They look around at the deserted, verdant landscape. Below them, waves roll toward shore.
I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. Not a soul in sight.
Do you think someone come and look for us?
Michael shrugs.
Who? Your mom? My parents? They think we're at a resort for a week and don't want to be bothered.
Never should have gotten on Jake's boat in the first place. That was the first mistake.
Hey. I can't blame him.
No? Why not? It was his boat. He's the captain. He's the one who told us to jump off, that he'd come back for us.
Because blaming someone doesn't solve anything.
Well, did Jake tell you that too?
Tommy glares.
No. My dad did.
He steps away. Michael closes his eyes and presses his lips tightly together. Tommy takes a seat on the ground nearby. Michael steps over and drops down to sit beside Tommy. Tommy hangs his head forward. Michael puts an arm around the young man's shoulders.
We're gonna be okay. I promise.
Michael nods as Tommy gazes at him, then they both peer into the distance.
What are we gonna do?
Michael shakes his head wearily.
Well, I told your mom I'd take care of you, right? So, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take care of you.
Michael pats Tommy's shoulder.
Are you hungry?
Later, Michael and Tommy stand in the shallows. They each hold a long bamboo shaft with a sharpened point. As fish swim around their feet, Michael tries to spear several of them. He slams his spear against the water in frustration. Tommy throws his spear, then Michael makes several quick jabs with his. He points, and Tommy hurls his spear before a wave crashes over him. Michael points again. Underwater, Tommy grips his spear as fish swirl around him. Then he bursts to the surface. On the beach, they construct a shelter out of driftwood and palm fronds.
Okay, buddy. What do you think?
I mean, you know, it's not the treehouse we've got at the ranch, but it's as solid as a rock, and it's gonna protect us if it rains. Yeah. Come here.
They look out toward the water.
Look at this view, huh? You know how much this view would cost if we were in Malibu?
At night, lightning flashes. Tommy and Michael huddle together in their shelter during a torrential downpour. Rain slices down at a sharp angle, coming into the shelter from the open sides. Lightning flashes around them. In daylight, text reads, Day 3.
Here we go. Nice little fishy.
Tommy cracks a coconut and drinks the milk. Nearby, Michael stands in the shallows with a bamboo spear. He lunges, but comes up with nothing.
We get one? How are we gonna cook it?
Tommy breaks a piece off the coconut.
You like sushi, right? Never had it.
Never?
Oh, you're gonna love it. It's great. It's real good for you, too. Very high in protein.
Tommy chews on a piece of coconut. Michael lunges again and comes up empty.
Ah!
He tosses the spear.
Come here! What am I doing wrong?
I don't know. I can sure go for one of Mark's steak sandwiches right now.
Who's Mark?
Just some guy my mom likes.
Mom seeing someone?
Oh, that's cool.
Tommy frowns.
You don't like him, do you?
What difference does it make? We may never get off this island. Come on.
They walk through a jungle.
Yo, Michael, I was reading that in Australia. They have these snakes called one steps. They bite you, one step later, you're dead.
Yeah?
I also got spiders that could jump 10 feet. Saltwater crocodiles. The locals call them man-eaters.
Tommy, you couldn't read up on edible plant life or something?
Michael grimaces and looks around. He spots something and points.
Look. Bananas. Come on.
Okay, I'm gonna hoist you up. Ready? One, two, three.
Bananas hang above them.
Get it now. Grab him. Go!
An emu peers at them. Michael and Tommy tumble backward down a slope. They land hard on the leaf-strewn ground. Tommy narrows his eyes and points.
What's that?
What?
A wooden post stands upright with a large-eyed face carved into it.
No. Stay behind me.
They creep toward the carving. A snake winds itself through a similar carving that stands among others at the mouth of a cave.
I think these mean someone else was here. Hundreds of years ago, I'm sure.
You sure?
Michael and Tommy step cautiously into the cave. Faint light streams in through various openings in the rock walls.
You know, you might just want to stay in here, Tommy. Really?
They walk through a narrow passage.
Yeah. All right, it's dry.
Michael looks down into a pit on his left.
She keeps pretty safe.
He spots a shrunken head on the wall.
Oh!
Michael falls and catches himself on the rim of the pit.
Can you over here, please? Hold up.
Tommy helps Michael up.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm fine. I got it. Ow!
Michael rests his hands on the ledge of the pit as he catches his breath. Tommy pats his back. Michael straightens, adjusts his shirt, and glances down into the pit.
Fine.
They exit the cave.
How long do you think those shrunk heads have been there?
I'm not an anthropologist, Tommy. How would I know that?
You know, Jake said cannibals like this.
Where is it? I don't know.
Something watches them from the underbrush, unseen by the pair.
Where's that coming from?
I can't tell, all right? Just stay behind me, okay?
They creep forward.
I don't want anyone to shrink my head, Michael.
That was hundreds of years ago. Nobody shrinks heads anymore.
Standing close together, they peer around.
All right. We're going to get out of here, okay? Slowly. Let's go. Go.
Go, 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 go. Come on. Don't look back. Just keep on moving. Go. Come on. Move it.
Jake leaps out at them. Michael and Tommy recoil, their eyes wide. Jake wears one of Michael's shirts with the sleeves cut off.
You think this is funny?
Yeah, I do.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. How you guys doing?
Yeah, well, that wasn't cool, you know? I'm scared this kid half to death here.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm really sorry about that.
Jake pats Tommy's shoulder.
You know, I thought I told you guys to stay put on the beach. Where the heck are we?
We did, okay? But then we needed a few things. Like food and shelter.
Michael built shelter on the beach over there.
Oh, on the north side?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's where the wind comes in.
Yeah, we know. Got blown to bits.
Michael eyes the shirt Jake's wearing.
Hey, this is my shirt.
Oh, yeah, it is. I found it in your suitcase. It washed up.
This is a $400 shirt. You just tore the sleeves off it?
Yeah. Guess it's only worth $200 now, huh?
Wait a minute, washed up?
Yeah.
Where's the boat?
I had to scuttle her.
Scuttle it? What does that mean?
I sank her, guys.
You sank our boat?
Yeah, I couldn't lose him. Had to do something.
What are we gonna do now?
Yeah, Jake, I mean, what happens now?
Yeah, all right, back off, okay? I'm building a raft.
Oh, my.
I figure we'll lie low for a while, give the pirates enough time to move on and forget about us, okay? And then we'll get in a freighter lane. Someone might see us. It's a good plan.
Wait a minute. We don't need a raft.
No, well, we can swim back.
No. You found my suitcase, right?
Yeah.
Well, Tommy put my cell phone in my suitcase. It's got a satellite hookup. You can get service anywhere. We're saved.
Michael?
Where is it?
You know, it's at camp, but I didn't see a cell phone.
No, that's probably because he put it in one of the zipper compartments. Which zipper compartment did you put it in, Tommy?
Tommy averts his gaze guiltily.
Your phone fell overboard.
Oh boy.
What? No. No, look, I'm sorry, okay? It was an accident. It fell in my pocket in the ocean when I hooked this really big fish.
Okay. All right, great.
Great. That's just great. Now we may never get off this island. Hey, I said I was sorry, all right? It was an accident. Oh. I'm sorry, Tommy. I thought you could handle it. I mean, come on, man. I told you to take the phone from me and put it in the suitcase. How hard is that?
All right, you know what? Just relax. All right, we're coming apart here, man. Lighten up.
Don't you tell me to lighten up, Captain Kangaroo, all right? Because if your boat, if that's what you want to call it, had a decent motor, the pirates wouldn't have caught up to us, all right? We wouldn't have had to scuttle it, and we wouldn't be in this predicament right now.
Michael wipes his mouth.
Hey, you know what, Woods?
If you want to blame somebody, blame yourself. So it wasn't me or my boat that got us into this trouble, right? It sure as heck wasn't little Tommy over there. No, it was you, man, you know? You're just a rich guy with your labels out for everyone to see. You're a great big beacon.
Give me a break. You know, if we get off this island, I'm going to sue you for negligence.
Oh! Oh, you know what? That's fine. But until then, I'm the captain, and I'm in charge. Ha! I don't think so. You know what? You go back to wherever you came from. Just so you know, I got food, water, and shelter that can stand up against the wind.
Yeah, that's fine with us. Come on, Tommy.
Tommy stays planted as Michael pulls his arm.
Come on. Tommy, listen to me. I promised Aunt Jules I would take care of you, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of you. Now, come on.
Tommy remains in place. The boy stands beside Jake.
Come with us. Can't eat any more coconuts.
Okay. All right. I see what's going on here.
Think you're gonna be better off with this kid?
Fine. Good luck.
You know, if you want to join us, we'll be on the other side of the island, right past the cove.
Michael.
Don't worry about it.
You know, you're gonna have to learn to trust me.
Whatever.
Hey, Michael!
Michael trudges away.
You know what? He'll turn up. He's stubborn, but he's not that stubborn.
Now Jake and Tommy reach a large shelter made of branches and fronds, nestled on a boulder-filled beach.
Your camp's incredible.
Tommy drinks from a small stream.
Michael doesn't know what he's missing.
Yeah, he wouldn't drink it anyway. It's not Pellegrino. I've been pretty much combing the beaches, looking for anything I can find that's washed up from my boat. Here, just a lot of stuff.
Jake tosses something to Tommy.
Yep, it sure is. Is it okay to eat?
Elsewhere, a large reptile rests unseen on a log ahead of Michael as he walks directly toward it. He drops down into mud up to his shoulders. The reptile flicks out its long tongue. Michael grimaces and struggles to climb out of the mud, which clings to his clothing and skin. The reptile opens its mouth. On the beach, clumps of mud drip from Michael's form as he waddles toward the water. He flops forward into the waves and washes himself off. Arms and legs flailing, Michael stumbles about in the surf.
Why'd you do this to me, Tommy?
He staggers back onto the beach. Michael flops onto his back. He puffs out his cheeks, then closes his eyes. A brunette woman in a bikini top and sarong walks into view above Michael, blocking the sun.
Hello? Hello?
Michael slowly opens his eyes, looks up at her, and furrows his brow. She smiles down at him. He lifts his head off the sand and squints at the woman.
Hi. Supermodel. Heather Head.
That's me.
Michael stands.
I don't believe it, but we're saved. What are you doing here?
I'm shooting an ad on a yacht around the point over there. I was just out for a jog. How about you?
Shipwrecked. Or at least I was. This is so amazing. You know, I thought I was going to be stranded here on this island with two other guys for the rest of my life.
Are they as handsome as you?
Michael opens his mouth, then shakes his head.
Well,
No, but that doesn't matter, right? I mean, you're still going to help us out.
Yes, of course.
Heather touches his cheek.
You poor thing. Shipwrecked. Thinking you'd be living here the rest of your life.
Well, now if it was with you, it might be a different story.
You are so cute. Are you single?
Very, yes.
I have to ask you, do you believe in love at first sight?
I do now.
Heather closes her eyes and leans in for a lingering kiss with Michael. Michael wakes alone on the beach. A wild boar roots around in the sand beside his head. He flees. At night, Michael cowers under palm fronds as a storm rages around him. On the other side of the island, Jake and Tommy sit by a campfire.
More lobster?
No, thanks. I'm stuffed. Couldn't eat another bite.
Tommy sets aside a large platter. Jake sews material as they relax under the protective shelter.
You know, my mom would have loved this place. She always wanted to come to someplace tropical. Why hasn't she? Couldn't afford it.
Jake nods, his eyes fixed on his sewing.
You know, I don't even remember my mom. Parents got divorced when I was pretty young. That's when my dad and I came down here from Seattle. So your dad ever get remarried? No. What about you? What's your story? Your mom never wanted to get remarried? I don't know. She likes this guy now, though. His name's Mark.
Jake holds out a piece of cloth.
Do you want to hold this right here? Okay. So, you like him? He's not my dad. Is he trying to be? I haven't really given him much of a chance.
Jake and Tommy briefly lock eyes, then Tommy looks away. Jake nods solemnly to himself.
My dad died a year and a half ago, Tommy. The coins, we didn't invest them. I had to use them to keep the boat afloat.
Jake looks down at his sewing. A wistful smile forms on Tommy's lips.
It's okay you didn't want to tell me about your dad. I know how it feels. It's a hard thing to say. Sometimes, when I'm on the boat, I feel like I can hear him. And just for that split second, I want to answer him back. I know it sounds really weird. No, it's not. See, my dad and I built this bench on a property where we used to go every day and watch a herd of wild horses after chores.
Tommy's eyes glisten in the darkness.
That's where I hear them. Maybe the same with you and your boat. Yep. Not anymore.
On a sun-bleached new day, Jonas and the blonde man join Frakes on a beach.
Anything?
Not even a footprint.
You guys saw footprints.
There were hours.
Great. Get on the boat.
Text reads, day 4. Jake and Tommy approach a partly constructed raft.
There it is. It's not bad. And out there by the reef, there's an underwater cave. That's where I caught the lobster.
Jake carries a bundle of plant stalks.
When can we look for Michael? Oh, Michael. Yeah.
Next year, okay? How about after lunch?
Hope he's all right. Listen, your cousin might be arrogant, self-centered, conceited, snobby, but he's not stupid. He's gonna be all right.
In the jungle, Michael drops from a tree with a banana in his mouth. He peels the banana and wipes his hand on his shirt, then takes a bite. He furrows his brow.
Guys?
He steps cautiously forward, wending around leafy plants.
Tommy?
You guys were checking up on me.
Ahead, plants rustle.
Guys? Come on out here.
Let's just talk it out, okay?
Michael glances over his shoulder.
Guys? Guys?
He pushes fern leaves aside and comes face to face with an emu. Michael flees through the jungle. The emu chases him. He glances over his shoulder as he sprints through the underbrush, his eyes wide. Michael flails his arms wildly overhead as he runs. The emu slows to a stop and stares after him. On a boulder-filled beach, Tommy carries a weathered cushion. He rounds a rock formation and smiles as he spots something. He trots over to a yellow duffel bag. Jake peers over at him.
Found your bag!
Yeah.
Tommy looks inside. He opens a cassette player and water pours out. Jake looks through clothing.
Stuff is perfect for the sale.
Jake and Tommy pull out more clothing. Tommy lifts a small package wrapped in brown paper, the present Mark gave him before he left.
What's that?
My mom must put it in here. It's from Mark.
Are you gonna open it?
Tommy presses his lips together and glances at Jake, then rips the soggy paper. A picture with a hand-carved wooden frame rests within. The picture shows Tommy standing with a man.
Is that him?
It's my dad and I on that bench.
There you go. It's a really cool frame.
I bet you Mark carved it himself. He likes working with wood.
Jake runs his fingers over the carvings.
Looks like it took him some time.
Yeah.
Jake nods and studies the gift intently.
What do you say we go spearfishing? Catch our lunch.
Okay.
Jake rises to his feet.
Let's go.
He carries the duffel bag.
Thanks. Sure.
They head off.
Want this cushion?
Yeah.
Later, they spearfish.
Hey, stop. Don't move. Be very patient. They'll come to you.
Meanwhile, Michael trots through the jungle, peering over his shoulder.
Just be patient. They will come to you. Here they come.
He follows the sound of others' voices.
Stop moving. Look, they can feel the vibrations. It spooks them. Look, just stay still. See this one over here? It's coming right to me.
Jake moves with calm precision and spears a large fish.
Be that easy. Woo! How'd you do that? What do I do?
Michael reaches a ridge and looks at Jake and Tommy below.
Down like this.
Michael spots a saltwater crocodile swimming toward Tommy and Jake.
Guys! Guys!
He sprints down the hillside toward the beach, waving his arms overhead.
Jake! Michael! Get out of the water!
Jake smiles and waves back.
Do it! Get out of the water! Yeah, sure! Yeah, here comes the payback. Get out of the water!
Michael leaps onto the beach. Jake and Tommy spot the crocodile. Jake shoves Tommy aside and hurls his spear.
Come on,
Michael pulls Tommy toward shore as the crocodile continues toward Jake. Jake hoists up a large rock and slams it down on the crocodile's head. He follows the others back onto the beach as the crocodile swims away. Michael and Tommy flop onto the sand.
Like 20 feet long. Did you just nail him, Jake? That was awesome.
I don't know how awesome it would have been if Michael hadn't seen it coming first. Thanks.
Sure.
Jake lowers his gaze and rubs his brow. He steps past Michael, then turns back to look at him.
Coming with us? Is that an invite?
Wasn't that why you came back?
Michael, you need fresh lobster, fruit, tons of water. Stay totally dry. Come with us.
Michael peers at Jake.
It was okay with Kevin.
Jake grins.
Yes.
Michael nods. Jake tilts his head and walks off down the beach as Michael turns to Tommy.
Hey. I just want to tell you I'm sorry about the phone thing. I overreacted, okay? It wasn't your fault. There's nobody I'd rather be shipwrecked with. All right? Well, except maybe the other hit.
It's okay.
All right, come on.
They put their arms around each other as they follow Jake.
Who's the other hit?
Moments later, they reach Jake's camp.
Here we are.
Jake washes his hands in the stream.
Home sweet home.
Michael spots a suitcase inside the shelter and darts over to it.
Oh! Oh! Oh, my clothes! Oh, my clean clothes! Oh, hello! Oh, they still smell good.
He eyes a distress flare.
Hey, don't touch that, okay? You only have one of them.
Yes!
Frakes and company walk on another beach.
We probably checked out 100 islands, Frakes. We're not going to find them.
You can quit anytime you want.
Nothing like a bit of island hopping.
Shut up!
At night, a lobster roasts over an open fire. Michael, who now wears a fresh shirt and a clean pair of jeans, peers over at Tommy.
I never understood why Gilligan didn't hit on Ginger or Marianne. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Mrs. Howe, you know, I totally get that.
Tommy stares downward with a slight frown.
Are you okay?
The teen lifts his gaze, his eyes shining.
If no one finds us, it's gonna be really hard on my mom. Hope she knows how much I love her. How much I like Mark.
How come you never told her how you really felt?
Because I feel guilty?
Tommy.
I do. I don't ever want to forget my dad, Michael.
And you're never going to. You like Mark for the same reasons your mom does. I'm sure he's a great guy. And your dad was a great guy, Tommy. But nobody is ever going to take the place of your dad. Don't you punish yourself, okay? He wouldn't want you to. Come here.
Tommy moves closer to Michael, who wraps an arm around him. Jake sits at a distance, carving into a piece of wood.
I promise you something. We are getting off this island. Okay.
Michael rubs Tommy's head affectionately.
We have to. Because I still gotta get a job when we get home.
Text reads, day 5. Jake tosses clothes onto a sleeping Michael and Tommy, then crouches beside them.
You guys know how to sew?
Later, Michael examines a sail made of clothing items sewn together.
I'll tell you. That is one expensive sail.
Now all we need is a mast and a rudder. Come on, guys.
At the top of a cliff overlooking the crashing surf, a palm tree drops to the ground. Jake, Tommy, and Michael step over to it.
So, you know, there's only about 4,000 trees on this island. We had to climb to the top of Mount Everest here to find the perfect one. Told you, we need one that stood up against the elements. Makes them hard and sturdy up here, boy.
This one's been through a lot.
And now we're gonna have to carry it all the way back down to the beach.
Jake arches an eyebrow as he eyes Tommy and Michael, then looks down toward the water below.
We can swim it back.
He grins as Michael eyes the long drop and shifts his weight.
Yeah, right. Oh, come on. It's less than 100 feet. People jump from heights way taller than that.
I think that's true, Michael.
All right, well, let's see you do it then. Well, sure, but you're gonna have to go first. And why is that? I don't think you'll do it. And I'm not about to climb all the way back up here just to grab the mast and carry it all the way back down.
Let's just forget about it, guys.
I'll do it.
So do it. Trust me.
Michael peers down again at the waves crashing against the base of the cliff far below.
No, I'm not going to do it. Because I got nothing to prove to you. And I'm not letting Tommy do it either.
Sure.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's get this tree down. Time to make a mast.
On the beach, they set the mast on a makeshift stand beside the raft. Michael and Tommy use sharp rocks to scrape the surface of the mast. Jake carries a rudder made of driftwood. Text reads, day 6. Tommy and Michael set the mast upright on the raft. Day 7. Jake picks a leaf off a palm tree and twists it and pulls it taut, showing this technique to Tommy. Day 8. Jake and Michael swim deep below the surface, making their way into an underwater cave. They reach an air pocket and come up for breath, each holding a lobster in their hand. At night, they dine around the campfire. Jake beams. Day 9. They steady the mast on the raft, ropes made of vines dangling down from it to secure it to the structure. A mat fashioned of woven palm leaves rests atop the raft. Day 10. Michael lies on the mat. He abruptly lifts his head.
Tommy, do you hear that?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
It's a plane! It's a plane! Hey! It's a plane! Flare!
Harry, Michael, go! Go! Hey! It's a plane! Hey! Down here! Down here! Hey!
Harry, there was a plane!
Hey!
They can't see us here! What? They can't see us!
Jake darts after Michael. Tommy follows. At the camp, Michael takes the caps off both ends of the flare, pulls a cord, and launches the flare high into the sky. On the pirate's yacht, the blonde man uses binoculars as Frakes mans the helm. Jonas points to the flare.
Look!
Bullseye.
Too easy.
Frakes pushes the throttle forward. At the camp, Jake and Tommy join Michael.
Oh! No! What are you doing? Oh, no! Idiot! It's a commercial jet flying at 35,000 feet! We needed that when we went out to sea! Maybe a freighter would have seen it, now it'll just be blind luck if somebody sees us!
Well, maybe you should have put the flare manual out in the reading
table. Don't blame me for your ignorance.
Come on, he was just trying to help.
No, you know, this guy's pathetic, all right? Pathetic. He knows nothing about anything. I mean, you want to wear a captain's hat? First learn how to run a boat. Top to bottom, inside and out, everything about it. Get to work for it, hard.
You know, this is just great coming from a guy who sank his own boat.
You know what? Stop it. That boat is full of sweat and memories that I worked for my entire life. What have you ever worked for? Come on, Michael, tell me. What have you ever worked for?
Come on, Jake.
Stop it. Tell me, Michael.
Michael frowns and looks away.
That's just what I thought.
Jake starts walking off.
You're right.
Jake turns.
I've never worked for anything. Is that what you want to hear? I'm 23 years old, and I don't know what I'm good at. I wish I was more like you two guys. You know, the way Tommy is with his ranch, and you are with your boat. You both have found something. I never had to.
Jake rubs his brow and shakes his head, then locks eyes with Michael.
Well, all right then.
Jake lumbers off, leaving Michael hanging his head. Later, Jake holds a coil of vines as he walks with Tommy.
Listen, I'm sorry I blew off so much steam back there.
Hey, we're all ready to get off this island.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'll rig this vine. We'll be out of here in the morning.
Hey, Jake, look. Hey!
Tommy spots Frakes and company on the beach.
You hear that?
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Jake covers Tommy's mouth and knocks him to the ground.
Sounded like a bird.
No, that was no bird.
The blonde man scans the nearby hillside. He, Frakes, and Jonas head inland. Jake and Tommy sit up. Jake points to the inflatable boat beached on the sand.
See? It's the pirates. Look, see the boat? If they find our raft, we got trouble, man. Let's go.
Jake and Tommy slip away.
Listen, take the inflatable and circle the island. I'll check things out here.
All right.
Jonas and the blonde man head back toward the inflatable boat as Frakes continues inland. Jake and Tommy sprint back toward the raft. Meanwhile, Michael spearfishes in the nearby shallows and manages to catch one. Jake and Tommy dash toward him.
Get to the raft! All right. See the snake!
Tommy stumbles but regains his balance.
To the raft! Get on! They found us!
Hurry! Fire to cover!
Pirates, help! What about the camp?
Forget the camp! We don't have time!
All right!
They push the raft into the water.
Tommy, Michael, now! Get on!
They climb aboard.
Hold on!
They lower the sail.
Okay, here comes one! Yeah. Hold on! All right, hold on! Tommy! Michael!
The pirates approach on the inflatable boat.
Oh, I can't believe it! What are we gonna do?
I don't know! You any bastards? No!
A wave rocks the raft. The pirates close in, but Jonas throttles down some distance from the raft.
What are you doing?
Doc.
She's gonna shoot us!
Get off! Get off the boat!
Jump off the boat!
Go!
Tommy, Jake, and Michael frantically leap off the raft. Jonas fires a flare at the sail, setting it ablaze.
Good shot. Tommy! Come here!
Waves crash over those in the water. Jake and Michael dive underwater, leaving Tommy behind, floating in his stuck-on life vest. Legs kicking and arms pumping, the two swimmers rapidly descend. Jonas pulls the inflatable boat up alongside Tommy. The blonde men hoist him aboard as Michael and Jake watch from far below, then swim away. The blonde man and Jonas scan the water.
Frakes is gonna be mad.
He'll never get him.
Shut up, kid. Go down and have a look. They're gonna be here somewhere.
The blonde man dives into the water. Jake and Michael swim beneath a rock archway. The blonde man swims near the formation, searching among the rocks. He reaches the archway and swims under it, but the two men he seeks are already gone. The blonde man scowls and climbs back toward the surface. Michael and Jake emerge from the water in the underwater cave. Tommy sits on Frakes' yacht.
She's telling me they're dead.
They didn't come up, and we looked for them. We waited there almost an hour. I don't know, Frakes. What do you reckon?
How about a cave? The reefs are full of them. They'll be back.
What makes you think so?
Frakes grabs Tommy's chin.
They hear you screaming in pain. They'll come running. Trust me.
Jake and Michael sit on a rocky slope. They watch Frakes' yacht floating in the distance.
Any ideas?
Yeah. You still got that gold coin?
On the yacht, Frakes and the others eat as Tommy mops the deck. The blonde man grabs Tommy by the neck and turns Tommy toward him.
Gonna clean all the scum off that deck, aren't you, boy?
He shoves Tommy away. Meanwhile, Michael and Jake walk on the beach.
How do you know who'll go for it?
Because I know a lot of greedy people.
Just hope it works.
Michael peers from side to side.
You gotta promise me something. You have to promise me that if something goes wrong, you take Tommy and you get him out of here. Don't wait for me. I promise.
I'm sorry about your boat.
I hated that boat.
You hated that boat?
Yeah.
I thought
thought it was your life.
Ah, no, it was my dad's life. He chose it for the both of us. Don't get me wrong. I love the sea and everything. Just, I think I stuck with her for so long because my dad loved her.
Jake stops and peers down toward the sand. Michael watches him with a deep crease between his brows.
Anyway, Tiffany, she's been sinking for a long time. And I've been hanging on to her for all the wrong reasons. You know, I've been also blaming people for things I don't have. You should take this back, I'm sorry.
Jake holds out Michael's watch, but Michael shakes his head.
Keep it. No, I can't do that.
Not because I can go out and buy another one. I want you to have it.
Jake cocks his eyebrows, pouts his lips briefly, then nods.
I don't know what to say.
I don't need to say anything. Come on, we got a lot to do.
Michael continues down the beach. Jake hangs back, then follows a few paces behind. Day 11. On the yacht, the blonde man practices a knot using a length of rope. Jonas steps past him and looks toward the shore, where she spots Michael standing on the beach.
Frakes! You better come and save us!
Now the inflatable boat pulls up to the shore. The three pirates climb out, then Jonas and the blonde man drag the craft, which still holds Tommy, further under the sand. The blonde man grabs Tommy by the hair and yanks him off the inflatable boat. Michael steps toward the group.
Warning.
Could be. That just depends.
The blonde man wraps an arm around Tommy's throat.
Are you okay, Tommy?
The man forces Tommy to nod.
So, where's your friend?
I don't know. I got a deal for you.
He's got a deal for us. He's got a deal for us, guys. So what's the deal?
You seem to be a financially motivated person. So let's talk bottom line. You think I'm worth a lot of money, don't you?
Wow, a psychic.
I don't know if my family would pay a dime for me right now. But what if I had a way to get you 10 to 15 million in gold coins? Would you leave us alone?
Gold.
Michael holds up Jake's gold coin. Frakes takes it from him and examines it as the others watch intently. Frakes glances over his shoulder at his cohorts, then returns his gaze to Michael.
Okay, I'm listening.
I found a whole ton of those right here on this island. But you won't get any of it unless you promise me you're gonna let Tommy go.
Why don't you just tell me where they are, pretty boy?
Frakes points a gun at Michael.
Because I won't. Tommy and I figured we'd be dying on this stinking island anyway. So by shooting us, you'd just be putting us out of our misery.
Okay. This is what I'm gonna do for you. I'm gonna let him go. But you're gonna tell us where it is. If it's what you say it is, then I don't have to waste my time with you. Okay.
You have to swear to let us go. I want your word.
Don't listen to anything.
Sure. You have my word. As a gentleman.
Michael and Frakes stare into each other's eyes.
All right, then. Tommy, just keep walking along the beach.
The blonde man releases Tommy.
It's okay. Go.
Tommy frowns and moves away.
All right, let's go.
Michael turns. Jonas and the blonde man step closer to Frakes.
Stay in the boat. I don't want those kids anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Frakes and Jonas share a look, then follow Michael, while the blonde man heads back toward the inflatable boat. As Tommy heads inland and spins around a tree, Jake grabs him.
Miss me?
They hug. Michael leads Frakes and Jonas through the jungle.
How much further?
Not far.
Frakes keeps the gun trained on Michael's back. With the inflatable boat back in the water again, tethered to Frakes' yacht, Jake and Tommy swim toward it, wearing disguises made of seaweed. They reach the back of the inflatable, and Jake rises beside to the craft's tilted-up outboard motor. He takes out a pocket knife, opens it, and cuts the fuel line.
Stay there. there, Tommy.
Jake slips back into the water. He swims up toward the larger craft. Much of his seaweed disguise falls off as he climbs aboard. He unhooks the rope, tethering the inflatable boat to the yacht. In the jungle, Michael, Frakes, and Jonas arrive at the cave where Michael and Tommy found the shrunken heads.
We found it by accident. Gold's in there.
Michael shifts his gaze to one side, then steps toward the cave entrance. Jonas grabs Frakes' arm as he starts to follow.
I'm not going in there. It's a dead cave.
Oh, give me a break.
The symbols, Frakes. They call them the Gatherers. They were the cannibals that cut off the heads before they shrank them.
Who cares?
Frakes shoves Jonas toward the cave. As she passes a snake winding itself through one of the statues near the entrance, she turns back.
These places are haunted, cursed.
Frakes stops her from leaving.
You don't help. You don't get a cut. Got it?
Jonas scowls. She and Frakes follow Michael into the cave. Inside, Jonas crosses her arms.
I don't like this.
Shut up. All right, where is it?
Right up ahead here.
Frakes stows his gun as he walks. Michael leads them down the narrow passage. Thick vines hang along the walls on either side. Michael stops beside a cluster of vines and lets them catch up.
It's right up there around the corner.
Frakes smirks and holds Jake's gold coin in front of Michael's face as he passes. Jonas follows, but Michael hangs back. Frakes and Jonas reach a dead end with the pit on their left.
Around where?
Michael tugs on a vine. Shrunken heads drop from above and dangle in front of Jonas and Frakes' faces. Frakes flails, the coin flying from his hand as Jonas tumbles into the pit. Michael flips Frakes backwards, but he clings to the ledge, eyeing Jonas writhing in the pit below. Michael grabs the gold coin, then runs. Frakes reaches out and trips him. Frakes pulls himself up from the ledge as Michael rises and flees, dashing out of the cave. Meanwhile, the blonde man emerges from the cabin of Frakes' yacht to find Tommy sitting there facing him.
I'd like a pizza to go, please.
Jake appears on the flying bridge behind the blonde man.
Hey!
Jake swings from an overhead arch and kicks the blonde man in the face, and Tommy hits him twice with the mop.
Oh, gee. I see some scum I forgot to wipe off.
He knocks the blonde man overboard.
Tommy, go!
Jake rushes to the helm and Tommy steps up beside him. They drive away. The blonde man swims over to the inflatable boat. He climbs aboard and spots the severed fuel line. He gapes as he watches Frakes' yacht pulling off into the distance. Meanwhile, Michael runs through the jungle as Frakes pursues him, gun in hand. Michael trips over a vine and falls, but jumps to his feet and continues on. Jake drives the yacht along the coast, some distance from the shore.
Keep your eye out for him on the shore!
Michael tears across a field with Frakes hot on his heels, the pirate gripping his gun as he runs. Michael dashes past trees and out onto the beach. On the yacht, Jake points. Michael glances back to see Frakes emerging from the trees. The two men sprint across the beach.
What are we gonna do?
What do you mean, what are we gonna do?
This guy's got a gun. We're getting out of here. We'll come back with some help.
We can't leave him.
I promised to get you out of here.
We'll break it.
I can't. I promise.
Hey, he didn't give up on me, Jake, and he wouldn't give up on you. He needs our help. Please.
Jake frowns and looks down briefly.
Michael! Everest!
Michael waves and runs back into the trees with Frakes still right on his tail. Tommy gapes at Jake. The large reptile again lies on a log beside the mud pit Michael fell into. Michael leaps over the mud and continues onward. Frakes pursues him. He runs straight into the mud pit and sinks down. He yanks his sledge-covered gun up from the mud, grimaces, and clambers out of the thick muck to continue the chase. Michael sprints toward the top of the cliff where they felled the tree. He stops short and gapes as he looks down at the crashing surf far below. Michael glances back, then spots the yacht in the distance.
Okay. Trust me.
The yacht moves closer. Seen in slow motion, Michael darts forward and leaps off the cliff, his arms and legs flailing as he plummets. He plunges into the water. On the yacht, Tommy scans the water with narrowed eyes. Michael swims through rough waters toward the yacht. Frakes reaches the top of the cliff and aims his gun at Michael far below. Mud squirts out of the barrel as Michael continues swimming away. Frakes grimaces and swings his arm frustratedly. On the yacht, Tommy shares a brief worried look with Jake, then grins as he spots Michael in the water. Jake raises his eyebrows and reverses toward Michael. Tommy dashes down to the swim platform and helps Michael climb aboard. Jake steps away from the wheel to peer over at them, grinning boyishly.
You're right.
Michael hugs Tommy. Jake joins them.
What's up, guy? We did it, huh?
Yeah.
He hugs Jake.
Let's go.
The yacht steams away from the island.
I can't believe we made it.
Yeah. Oh, Jake!
Michael takes out the gold coin and hands it to Jake.
Oh, man, thanks.
Jake studies the coin for a moment, then spins the wheel. He reaches down for the radio's microphone and raises it near his lips.
Island Patrol, this is Jake Hunter. Come in, over.
Good to hear your voice, Jake. You've been searching for you guys for days.
I lost the Tiffany, Butch. Everyone's safe, but listen, I got a location on some of that pirate scum you've been looking for. Maybe you should pick it up.
Later, Jake pulls the yacht into the marina. Glenn and Jules stand waiting on the dock near two police officers. They wave.
Michael!
Tommy!
Michael grins and pats Jake's shoulder as they pull up alongside the dock. An officer fastens a mooring line to a cleat on the dock. Glenn and Jules beam as the boys disembark.
Mom. Tommy.
Jules hugs Tommy and Glenn embraces Michael.
Michael.
Hey, Dad. Boy,
man. I didn't mean what I said about Mark.
Oh, honey, don't worry about it.
Really? Think you can ask him to make me another frame? Kind of lost the last one.
I'm sure he'd be glad to. Oh.
Michael.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, I'm so glad you're all right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Good. Yeah.
How's her mom?
Yeah, she's just worried sick waiting for us to call her.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Oh, hi.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay.
You.
Yeah.
Jake hangs back.
Oh, hey, guys, I want you to meet someone. This is Jake Hunter. He's the captain of our boat. He saved our lives.
Oh, Jake, it's a real pleasure.
Glenn and Jake shake.
I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you. A lot.
Cool. All right, let's go make that call.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, Jake, join us for dinner.
Come on.
Later, Glenn, Jules, Jake, and Tommy sit at an outdoor restaurant. A large platter of food rests at the center of the table. Michael joins them.
Hello.
Hey, Michael, where have you been?
Let's just say that preparation has met opportunity. I hope you guys don't mind, but I created a little job opportunity for us.
Jake glances around confusedly.
Here? What is it?
Michael motions to the yacht.
We're going to rename that boat Tiffany 2. Captain.
He hands Jake a hat bearing that name.
They gave us a reward for turning in freaks, so I did a little negotiating. See, they were going to put this boat up for auction, so I offered to buy the boat with our reward money. We are all going to be partners in the charter business.
Michael grins as Jake stares at the Tiffany 2 hat with a pensive expression.
Are you serious? Yeah. I mean, you said it yourself. The charter's sail out here all the time.
Oh, and, Dad, I was hoping that, that I could pay you back the money I owe you out of my share of the profits.
Well, that sounds great, but does that mean that you're planning to move to Australia?
No, I don't think I'm going to need to do that. I was actually kind of hoping that, file clerk job was still available. Because, you know, if I'm going to be a lawyer, I better learn about it, right? Inside and out, top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom. Besides, I think it'd be kind of cool to do lunch with my dad every now and then.
That sounds great, son.
So, we really own it. It's really ours. As long as we all agree on it.
Michael stands.
It's going to be a three-way partnership.
Jake and Tommy share a look.
What do you guys say?
I don't know what to say.
Well, I say yes.
Tommy rises. Jake grins and stands up.
Yes. Absolutely yes.
In a partnership, it is.
Michael puts an arm around Jake's shoulders, and Tommy smiles warmly. Nearby, sunlight gleams off the rippling water around the Tiffany II. Fade to black. Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Marcia Bartonetti.